Good afternoon, friends. You are tuned into EBC Radio 1170 AM, Aapki Choice. Time had been very difficult. Lots of people were affected mentally, physically, and financially. So today we have the fifth show in the Catholic Charities New Jersey Hope and Healing COVID-19 Response Weekly Series. Today's episode is entitled to Recovery Employment Manager at Prevention Links Hudson County Pathways to Success. I want to welcome our host, Noel Davis, Program Manager of Catholic Charities, New Jersey Hope and Healing, Crisis Counseling Program responding to COVID-19 through December 21st of 2021. Welcome, Noel, on EBC Radio. How are you doing?
Hi, Alka. Thank you very much. I am well. Hello once again, and good afternoon to our EBC listeners as well.
Well, we know you have been on EBC Radio, but can you remind our listeners about the New Jersey Hope and Healing Program?
Yes, thank you. And I will say thank you, as always, to EBC Studios for providing us this platform to reach the South Asian community in northern and central New Jersey of our program coverage. So I'm going to remind our listeners that the New Jersey Hope and Healing Crisis Counseling Program, which we call CCP, began its response to COVID-19 in April 2020, through 12 different nonprofit providers and social service entities, and that's in collaboration with the New Jersey Department of Human Services, Division of Mental Health and Addiction Services, Disaster and Terrorism Branch, through funds provided by FEMA and SAMHSA. Our Hope and Healing program at Catholic Charities is actually a partnership that's comprised of teams located within Catholic Charities Archdiocese of Newark, Catholic Charities Diocese of Metuchen, Catholic Charities Diocese of Patterson, and Catholic Charities Diocese of Trenton, which is the lead partner. The program is currently responding to COVID-19 pandemic into December, as you say, Alka, although we are looking to get an extension into March, so that's very exciting news. This crisis counseling program, I will remind everyone, is just a neighbor-to-neighbor approach to disaster response work. Our program is comprised of regular community members. They're not mental health clinicians. They are trained in the CCP model that offers short-term peer-based emotional support and information referral pertaining to any given disaster. So for this weekly series, we are focusing on tips to improve mental health and resiliency, as well as resources that may be needed by those impacted by COVID-19, and really by all of us living in this environment created by the pandemic over the past 19 months or so. We'll be looking to tailor our content to our South Asian community listening whenever we can.
Well, thank you. We are so happy to have this series here on EBC Radio. So, Noel, can you tell us about today's show? I understand we are talking to a program that provides employment services to those impacted by opiate misuse.
Yes. Today we are speaking with Jewel Savides, who is a recovery employment manager at Prevention Links Hudson County Pathways to Success. She holds a BS in International Criminal Justice and has 5 years of experience helping and serving the residents of Northern New Jersey. So let's say welcome to Jewel. Please tell us a little more about yourself.
Hi, Noel and Alka. Thank you so much for having me today. It's really exciting to be here. So we're really here to create strong community ties, minimize the divide between resources and people, and help the community grow holistically. I'll share a little bit about myself, that I am a dedicated wife, a dog mom of two very cute pit bulls, and an avid at-home chef, and I'm always ready to try out a new recipe.
That's great. How wonderful. I am also a dog mom, an adventurous chef, so those are my top two healthy self-care practices. I highly recommend them to our listeners. Puppies and food, can't go wrong. And I am also very excited to help our listeners connect and grow today. So along those lines, can you give us an overview of the services provided by Prevention Links Hudson County Pathways to Success?
Yes, absolutely. Pathways to Success operates in partnership with the Mental Health Association of New Jersey and the Department of Labor, and in collaboration with local residents, we address and eliminate barriers to employment through case management, employment case management specifically, career readiness, job coaching, job search, supportive services such as like clothing and food pantries and whatever other resources someone may need to help them on their journey to finding work, industry-valued credentials, post-employment supports, the list goes on.
Wow, that's really great. I think employment barriers have become such a hot topic since the start of the pandemic, right? So when many people were laid off or unable to work because COVID-19 really changed our society and the whole environment. But I understand, are there some stipulations to qualify for your service? Can you explain those to us?
Yeah, absolutely. So Prevention Links partners with the Mental Health Association of New Jersey to provide services, a full list of services, in Middlesex and Hudson counties. We also partner with Blessed Ministries to provide some services to Passaic, Essex, and Union counties. And we have a sister program serving Ocean County that is run by the Mental Health Association. To be eligible for the program, participants should have valid ID, birth certificate, and a signed social security card, as well as a work history. The program is offered to all individuals who are 18 years or older who are directly and indirectly affected by opiate use disorder. But I encourage everyone who's listening to reach out, because we may be able to offer other referrals to community partners. We certainly want to make sure that everyone's needs are being met and no one's being left out, and we can help provide those linkages.
Yes, that's great. I agree that really for any of the resources that we talk about on this series, if you're listening and you're interested in the services being described, but you think, oh, I might not qualify, you should definitely reach out. I think, like Jewel said, most providers know of other resources within their community, and those resources can help even if that specific provider cannot. So thank you for that reminder, Jewel. So how do our interested listeners actually access this service then?
Absolutely. So participants can be referred through treatment providers, peers, family support agencies, family members, one-stop in their county, educational institutions with a program towards behavioral health care. They can refer themselves if they'd like to. All these forms are available online at preventionlinks.org under the Recovery Community Development Division under the Pathways tab, Pathways to Success tab.
Thank you. Great. So, again, for everyone listening, that's prevention, PreventionTion, links, LINKS, dot O-R-G. So also, I noticed that you said this program is for those directly and indirectly impacted by opiate use disorder. Can you explain a little bit more? What does that mean?
Absolutely. So the most obvious qualifier would be an individual who has personal experience with opiate use disorder. It's probably clear to most listeners why having the disorder in this kind of this kind would prevent someone from finding work or throw up barriers, certainly, to maintaining employment. But what we'd really like to discuss and clarify is the indirect use, right, or indirect exposure to opiates. Basically, that is a family member, that is a friend, that is a community that is heavily affected by opiate misuse. We would really like to make sure that communities are getting the help and support that they deserve with something like the opiate epidemic. And again, I'd like to really reiterate that the best way for you to know how somebody that you love, like if they fall into this category, is to reach out and ask us.
That's great. Yeah, So, as you say, you know, we really want to support whole communities that are being impacted. I think this program must be seeing a lot of growth this past year. I think that COVID-19 really created additional barriers to employment, but also, as we've discussed in a previous episode, the pandemic has isolated a lot of people from their healthy supports and activities, and so as a coping mechanism from the resulting anxiety and depression, substance abuse has increased, and especially in the case of opiates, which can start as a simple prescription that's addressing a true physical need. So many healthcare providers are focused on COVID-19. It's easy to see how someone's like legitimate, necessary use of opiates suddenly morphs into abuse and disorder in this context. So have you seen that impact in the community, Jewel? And how is your program responding if so?
Yes, absolutely. One of the most notable impacts of COVID-19 has been changes to employment, as you mentioned. Extra work has been needed for the Pathways to Success to help participants find employment this past year and a half. We also provide credentialing to help improve opportunities for finding employment. And in the interim of finding employment, our case managers can address other needs with connection to remote and in-person mental health mental health and physical health wellness groups, and access to resources for housing, childcare, advocacy, all of which have become more necessary as a result of the change, the changes created by the pandemic. I really want to highlight that we provide a free CCAR Recovery Coach Academy and CCAR Ethics certifications in conjunction with a paid internship for individuals who want to become certified peer recovery specialists to be able to work in a program like that, like ours. So COVID-19 has certainly created barriers to employment for so many people, but we're working through them. And I actually think there's a silver lining in that COVID-19 has allowed remote access to so many resources that weren't available before. This can help with time, privacy constraints, and allow more people to access opportunities that were otherwise limited due to specific schedules. And as a result of our programs, we've become really adaptable and innovative in how we provide services and access.
Wow, what a great point. I love your optimism about the silver lining. That's so true. So then what are some of these changes that you're implementing that you mentioned?
So most of our support groups are now offered remotely. All forms are available online at preventionlinks.org. And we can be, and you can also email us at rcdd@preventionlinks.org. That's rcdd@preventionlinks.org. We can meet remotely or over the phone, and we can have documents signed with an e-signature, you know, really help people, stay remote and socially distanced as possible. We provide in-office appointments to anyone who doesn't feel comfortable with remote meetings, but masks are required. In the end, some services need to remain in person, even though not everyone feels comfortable being in person anymore, but we try to accommodate when we can.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. I think a lot of providers are operating that way. But I imagine that all the remote access might actually be a blessing for those that may be facing some cultural barriers and stigma. Do you think that's true in your experience?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, specifically speaking to many of our listeners, I want to say that I'm a member of the South Asian community, and I've always felt that larger supportive resources weren't always shared within our community, and it often came with a lot of stigma, a lot of what would other people say. I've experienced a lot of substance use through my core and extended family, and it was not something we could talk about to each other openly, and it certainly wasn't something heard of that we could seek help publicly. Even when I lost family to substance abuse, it was still something only whispered about. The quieter the subject is made, the harder it is for someone to ask for and pursue help. This is already an isolating disorder. We want to create strong, diverse communities to help shed light and acceptance for recovery. The self-referrals allow participants the privacy to ask for help. We provide access to peer support where participants can meet someone with lived experience to find the support that may not be available in their own community. The peers can help an individual find the path that works best for their version of recovery, right? And we have translation services to help create more inclusivity. Our goal is to, like, again, really bring and bind the community.
Wow, that's great. What an important and honestly really heartfelt message. So I have to thank you, Jill, for sharing that. I'm really sorry for the troubles that you've had, but I think it's just really wonderful that you've been able to turn those challenges around and you're just helping others. But speaking of that, you have shared with us a lot of different services that you offer and why you offer them, but can we make it real for a minute? As we begin to start to wrap up, can you share with us what's a quick success story of what your program's impact looks like in someone's actual life?
Absolutely, I would love to. So one participant started the program in February. After attending an employment wellness group, their goal became, and remains, to become a motivational speaker. After starting the internship, the participant quickly began showing their ability to learn and teach and be a team player. So they often would help out other interns, you know, they would help them figure out how to use their laptops or navigate our electronic record keeping system. And they would really just be a great outreach asset. At the completion of their internship, the participant saw an opportunity to become a full-time peer support specialist with an organization in New Jersey. And with a bit of guidance from the Pathways team, the participant aced their interview and is now a certified peer recovery specialist. So during their time as an intern, the participant started working with a mentor and still works with a mentor to pursue their dream of becoming a motivational speaker.
That's great. How wonderful. It's a really positive note to end on. So I'm really glad that your program is providing these services to New Jersey residents that are both directly or indirectly impacted by opioid use disorder. So before we sign off, can you tell us what's the best way for listeners to contact you specifically for more information about what you shared today?
Sure, absolutely. So our listeners can email the program at rcdd@preventionlinks.org, or they can contact me directly, Jewel Savides, at jsavvides@preventionlinks.org, or they can call me, again, directly, 201-589-8509. That's 201-589-8509. And if they just want some information, they can visit our website at preventionlinks.org.
Great. And I'll remind everyone that Jewel has told us that the forms to be able to access the service are also located at preventionlinks.org. So thank you so much for joining us today on ABC Radio to talk about Prevention Links Hudson County Pathways to Success Employment Support. Before we go, I want to invite our listeners to tune in again next Tuesday at 3:30 p.m. We're going to hear from Catholic Charities Archdiocese of Newark talking about basic community resources for low-income families.
Jewel, I also want to thank you for this great information. And Noel, thank you very much for bringing this resource to our EBC listeners. As always, I want to remind our listeners that if you or a friend or neighbor needs help with COVID-19 impacts, please call NJ Hope and Healing at 732-204-6510. Help and support are only a phone call away. So do not forget to tune in again next week and send us questions and topics, ideas for this series to hopeandhealing@ccdom.org. So thank you, Noel and Jewel. So looking forward to speaking to you all more again.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.